This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Rogue Rebels Podcast. I am your host, Sal, here with your other host, Lizzie.
Hi.
You see Izzy what I Garcia. Did there? See what I did there?
Yes, I
I'm
saw.
So smooth. Hey.
I remember when, like, you told me about the book and, like, the name.
What
and
book,
I was
Lizzie?
Like, that's, oh, Crash of Fate.
Star Wars, Galaxy's Edge, A Crash of Fate. Sometimes Star Wars be like that.
So silly. I was just thinking about, like, how, like, surprised I was at the name. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into that.
I thought the same thing. By Zoraida Cordova, a very good Star Wars author. I am enjoying a lot of her books lately. She also, like we talked about this, when this book came out was what, 20? Nope, I should just look it up before I say the wrong thing. This book was released in 2019.
Okay.
So, like, when this book came out, we were like, oh, what? She named a character Izzy. And it's, like, almost like you, Lizzie. Ah, ha, 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 ha. And then, like, a couple of years ago, or maybe last year, she came out with a High Republic book called Convergence. And one of the characters she introduced in that book, his name is Axel Greylark. So,
okay.
Like, Zoraida Cordova has, like, two characters that are pretty close to us's. You know, I'm pretty sure I've said this on other podcasts, but I'm going to say it again here now. So if you heard all this story already, yay.
This is like, again. Yeah, no, that's, that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Axel and I in the Star Wars universe.
In theory. Maybe you can do your little, like, go back, you know, remember it says she has a green jacket with some black stripes and leggings and da-da-da-da-da, and, like, whip up a, like, Izzy Garcia, what you think, you know, take some stuff from the book and draw a picture, and then maybe we can, like, do the costume. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It could happen.
Is there pictures of Axel?
Yeah, there's already pictures of Axel.
Cool.
Axel gets
it easy.
Yeah. Like, if you just Google Axel Greylark, you'll see pictures of Axel, but he's like,
sounds like it's an alien.
He's human. He's the son of Senator Kyong Greylark, and he's in a few books in phase two of the High Republic, and
doesn't look like Axel.
Yeah, he's like all, you know, like rich kid something something vibes.
Cool.
Very good times. Let's see what we got. So we're going to talk about A Crash of Fate.
Yes.
Which is a book that I enjoyed quite a bit. And I remember, like, back when it came out, it was part of the whole publishing initiative and everything behind, like, Galaxy's Edge. You know, that's why it's like Galaxy's Edge, A Crash of Fate. And we got Galaxy's Edge Black Spire, and we got a Galaxy's Edge comic book, and we got actual Galaxy's Edge. You know, so, like, I wonder now, like,
Do you remember when they blindfolded us around Galaxy's Edge?
Yeah, we by the time we read this book, we had like been to Galaxy's Edge. You know, so that's pretty cool. For those who
sometimes don't know, when I walk around Galaxy's Edge now, I'm like, oh, this is where they took us, and this is where we walked around,
mm-hmm.
and this is where I saw like the little little things on the floor.
Yeah, so we did like a. If you haven't seen, there were like some commercials and promos that they did when Galaxy's Edge opened, and it was called like First at Galaxy's Edge, and they like took fans and people like before it opened. They brought us and a few other people, including Jonah,
mm-hmm.
and we got to experience like Galaxy's Edge before it opened, which was like really, really cool. And really fun, and they brought back the whole family, but we were like semi blindfolded, and like we were walked to certain spots so that they could like and then like turn on the cameras, and then they could like capture us when we opened our eyes and turned around and stuff, you know. So like the experience of it was like a little funky because we were like holding each other's hands in a line, like somebody guiding us to the to and from wherever we were doing.
It worked.
Yeah,
I just I think the only thing that I was like. I felt bad because, they wanted these reactions from us, and I provided said reactions, but I feel like I didn't, like, like, enough, but I was just, like, kind of just in shock and amazed instead.
Right, right. But, I mean,
we weren't YouTubers. We weren't, like, YouTubers, reactions.
Like, oh, my God, is that the Falcon? Wow. We were very much just like, for a while.
Yes.
But
did
it
you
was...
know the Falcon has a little Falcon attached to it?
I did know that.
And it's under it?
Yeah.
I found it the other day. It was cute.
Nice. So, like... just like when you read this book, I don't know if it does it play any different from now than it did back then. Like, do you now that you because I remember I was just so excited to like I went to Galaxy's Edge and then I read the book, you know, and when as I was reading the book, I was like, oh, that was like kind of like over there on that one side. But I like, you know, now I think I've been to Galaxy's Edge so many times that I can be like, oh, and this is where such and such happened. And this is where this and this happened. And, like, not just with this book, with, like, Black Spire, with, like, even stuff that happens to me when I play Galaxy's Edge on The Sims.
Yeah. It's definitely a lot easier to imagine it now for me. Like, mm-hmm. when they go to Docking Bay 7 and they go to eat and stuff. Like, right. I was like, oh, okay, they sat in this specific chair, or maybe they did, like, a booth over there. My thing is, I wish Cookie would come out and see me, too.
Right.
I wish Cookie would be like, why aren't you eating your food? Is it not good? Like, but Cookie does not come out.
Cookie can't do that because you eat your food too fast.
Yeah, that's true. But he doesn't even come out at all.
No, your food's gone.
What if I have complaints?
He looks out the window and he's like, my food's gone. He's like, the food must be great because she is eating it. Look at that food go. I can stay back here in the kitchen. No one needs to hear from me. Anyway, let me use my little arm to cut things. let's see, just real quick before we super get into this even more, the business, you can check us out at theroguerebels.com. We have a Facebook page, go like it. We are on Instagram, TikTok, Hive, Blue Sky, Threads, at The Rogue Rebels, anywhere there's anything, except maybe Twitch. I think we're just Rogue Rebels, and we're a Rogue Rebels fam on Twitter. Yeah. Make sure you are sharing our podcast wherever you get the chance. And listening to it, you'll have lots of fun. Share us with your friends. We want to be friends with your friends.
Friends of friends of friends.
Friends of friends of friends. All right. I don't really have too much like news book related things. Phase 3 of the High Republic is starting. I'm already reading Eye of Darkness, and it is already crushing. And people are starting to get their review copies. And when you like stack them all in a row, like starting from phase 1, Light of the Jedi, and then going through all the way to where phase 3 starts, the like spines of the book, like it started, Light of the Jedi was this white cover, and then it just turns black. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, no. So that's happening. Zoraida is also a High Republic author, part of the High Republic things. I think, like I said, she wrote Convergence, which was the first book in Phase 2, which was really, really good. She's written a few short stories. The Lost Night Sister, she wrote the Adventurous story in the Stories of Light and Dark in Clone Wars. She wrote A Crash of Fate. She wrote You Owe Me a Ride, which I think is about the Tonika sisters in From a Certain Point of View. And she wrote the Boba Fett story in The Empire Strikes Back. And it's called Wait for It. Hmm. And she was like, I did my Hamilton thing. and then she also has a story in Tales of Light and Life. And if I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure hers is about Axel Greylark.
She has a lot.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, she writes a lot. Like, that's just the Star Wars stuff.
Well, yeah.
She writes a lot of other books, too. I believe that they're awesome. Do you read those books? I haven't. I started the, Brooklyn Brujas or whatever. Like, I started the first one because I was like, this is cool. I like her writing. I should, check this out. And I kind of started it, but Star Wars books keep coming out, and I'm sorry.
Priorities.
Mm-hmm. But I have read Convergence, 3 times.
Wait, 3 times? Then you could have had time for the other one.
Yeah, but Convergence is really good. Yeah.
At least you're still supporting her.
I do my best. I own it. I will Instagram it. and she's also, for Phase 3, I believe the book she's writing is a junior novel called Beware the Nameless. So pretty sick. I am excited for her and the future of her Star Wars writing, and excited that she's a part of the High Republic stuff, because the stuff she did in Phase 1 was pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Like that Convergence book, really good. Oh, Phase 2, I'm sorry. Excuse me. So yeah.
Who you got in the room?
Oh, no, that's just an echo.
Echo, what books have you read?
None. Echo has nothing to say.
You get that, Dad?
Echo has nothing to say about this.
Anyway, getting into Crash of Fate.
All right.
Because I believe that's the only book I've read from her, which is not great, but...
it's a good book.
I meant not great that I haven't read a lot of her books.
If you would like to, I can let you borrow them.
That's true.
In fact, I have a whole extra copy of Tales of Light and Life.
I still have the one that I got. It's High Republic. I don't think she wrote it. but I have one of those books. It has mechanic-looking girl on it. I'm trying to think of what it's called.
Mechanic-looking girl.
Mechanic.
Mm-hmm. And it's a High Republic book on the cover, you mean?
Into the Dark.
Okay.
That's what I have.
Into the Dark is, with Affie Hollow. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah, that's the first young adult. That's a Claudia Gray one.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Which I...
that's what I still have to read, because I have it.
Shout out to my boy who finally sent me an owl. And
he did,
and he also sent me a copy of Into the Dark signed by Claudia Gray. So I appreciate you. And a poster from the SDCC booth, which is the giant High Republic end of Phase 1. Who will survive? And I was like, you guys are horrible. Like, I love each and every one of these people. How are you going to give me a poster that has everybody that I love by Phil Noto and then attach the words who will survive and a picture of Starlight Beacon on fire?
That reminds me that reminds me of a movie. I can't tell if it's an actual movie or if it was supposed to be a meme or a joke, but it was a horror movie and the cast is all African American, and just the little thing description was we can't all die first. And it's it's funny. But that's what that reminds me of.
There was a good one that Daniel Jose Alder did. He likes to do funny tweets and he's excellent at it. And he wrote this last Free Comic Book Day was like a coda to the High Republic Adventures comics. And the High Republic Adventures is like 13 issues. It's like this beautiful story. And phase two has already started. But he's like, oh, the like Free Comic Book Day is actually like a coda to phase one. And people were like, oh my God, I get to see like Lula Talisola and Zine. And then like people read the comics and were like, ah! And then he wrote like, he did the little tweet and it's like the guy from, you know, I don't know, Macross or whatever anime it is. And the, like the little line is like, I am a genius. I am dead.
Oh.
Because like the coda was like significantly heartbreaking and scary. And I am starting phase three. Still wondering about a few of those people on that poster who I know and love.
Hmm. Authors like to play with our hearts, huh? I feel like they have to be sad about it too, though.
They do that. And then they do these little things. So like people on Twitter, like High Republic Twitter is something else. Look, please, like this is not a High Republic book, but I don't know. Batuu has a Jedi station on it that entails that the Galaxy's Edge, you play a High Republic character in, and it happened. And so like technically this is High Republic related.
Okay.
Cache of Fate. Yay.
Jumping loops.
Now I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, people on Twitter have like, they make all these little things like, because they keep going like, you know what you did, Kevin? Like, because the authors keep like killing us and breaking our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, they were like, oh, in preparation for phase three, you know, like I please accept these like offerings. And it's like these little like, you know, I have to look it up now. Please talk while I find it.
No, that's like when Dave Filoni came up to Mom for the finale and like just put his hand on her shoulder and was like, just trust me, anything happens, just trust me.
Yes,
because Dave does close. The same thing. Just really good story writers in general are really good at like making us love this character, like be so invested in this fake character's life. And then being like, you know, maybe they should lose an arm or or their life.
Sure.
Have them disappear for so long. And then they come back. What's it called? Live action.
Right. I can't find it. But they made like the little High Republic like gold and white logo. But instead of the High Republic, it says like, I can't even, Daniel. I can't even, Alyssa, or like, how fucking dare you, Kevin, or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really funny. That way, like, you can attach those to whichever tweet you're about to say about the thing that made you cry. Okay.
Hmm.
So I guess Crash of Fate it is then. Ready? We're good?
Still thinking about Iscat.
Oh, okay. You still have Red Blade thoughts. Yeah. Iscat's such a jerk.
Every day I miss her. Every day I see her face.
Every day I see her face. I just miss her. Well, I have some comics that she's in.
Yeah, I read them.
Only two issues. The whole series is actually pretty good.
I got sad. I read them and I had to physically, like, I looked, I watched, I read. I have listened, read, and now, like, visually seen her die.
Yes.
That's horrible.
Oh. How dare
That's
you,
mean.
Delilah. All right. Back to Zoretta.
I feel crush. Like, wait, really
okay,
quick.
Okay.
Like, the top, or like, well, not the top, but like, the, like, women authors of Star Wars. Like, it's Claudia Gray, Delilah Dawson, Zoraida Cordova.
Justina Ireland is writing a lot of the High Republic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Carson did Most Wanted. Beth Revis did Princess and the Scoundrel. I got my books piled in front of me.
Who did, what was their name? I guess not woman, but, you know, also LGBT.
Alyssa Wong, Emma Mieko Kenden
yes.
did Ronin. Those are the two that come appreciate to mind immediately that I can see them from here.
Appreciate them, love them with all of my heart, oh, but no, stop making me sad.
Please cease, sir. Cease.
He's sad. He's sad. He's saying that he's sad from his cat.
No, he's talking about how good Ronin was and that you should have read it. That's what he's saying. Yeah, he's like, true. They're actually doing a comic book. Peach Momoka is doing a Visions number one.
I said it on the podcast, I think. But when I was playing this like ghost game that you're like trying to exorcise the ghost, and the ghost has a name that you look at like in the beginning to figure out what the ghost's name is, how to irritate it, how to trap it, all that stuff. And they were, and I was playing with my friends, and they were like, "Okay, the name is Alyssa Wong," and I was like,
"Oh yeah, you said that."
Huh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think about it a lot. So I'm like,
Nice. Let's see. All right, Crash of Fate. It's basically a story about these two people who were friends when they were kids. One of them moves away from Batu, and then, you know, later when they're adults, they sort of come back, and the whole thing takes place on this one day. They see each other again, and, like, all of the things that happen. I've reread this book a lot of times, because we've been trying to do this podcast a lot of times between 2019 and now. Mm-hmm. But it's a very like self-contained story, but it's also like it's set on Batu, but like it is about Batu, but it's not like, I hate when people do the thing that they do with every single thing. Like, oh, Princess and the Scoundrel is just like trying to get people to buy tickets to the Halcyon or whatever. Like, this is just trying to like get people to go to Gal. No, people are going. It's fine. Like,
chill out.
It's like, it's a setting.
I'm not buying $100 worth of tickets to be like, oh, this is where Izzy exactly stood. No, I'm just going to go in general.
And even if I was, it's my business.
I'm not taking your $100. Right. Chill out.
Yeah, that's fine. Don't read the book and don't go to Galaxy's Edge. See, leave more room for me. But I don't know. Like, I hate when people say that these things are like tie-ins. And I'm like, everything in Star Wars is like... How many toys do you own, sir or ma'am?
Yeah.
Or them.
How many movies are you watching?
Yeah. Well, the movie isn't the tie-in. That's the like original thing.
I'm just saying.
Theory. Okay, that's fair. If they make a Galaxy's Edge movie, would that be a tie-in now?
I mean, Galaxy's Edge was mentioned in Resistance.
Yeah, it was.
Definitely freaking mentioned.
Canon.
I'm so upset at that. So upset because they were like, I'm gonna go to Galaxy's Edge. Oh, I didn't even make it there because I came back.
Wait, what was that? What, which, when, where?
They were gonna, like, after they thought everything was okay and cool, and they're like, Kaz, wow, you're such a good spy.
Oh, no, Resistance. It was in Resistance.
What did I say?
Maybe did I say Rebels? Say Resistance. I don't know what you said.
No,
anyway,
did say Resistance.
Yeah, sorry.
But anyway, yeah. So upset. Like, especially, I'm pretty sure, did going they to mention Vi Marotti or no?
We're
or
turning
they just
around.
Mentioned Batu?
No, he met the other spy and it was the other guy. It was like the pilot guy. It wasn't Vi.
Okay. I wasn't sure if they said Vi, because I know they said, like, there are, like, already Resistance forces there, so you just go meet them.
But yeah.
I don't know if they said Vi Marotti.
No, I still would be down for, like, the greatest spies join team up, which is Vi Marotti and Kazuda's Yono.
Yes.
And not his jerk father, but we're not talking about that right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That is struck content.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Let's just get into the book. We're about to spoil the heck out of this book.
That was from 2019.
That was from 2019. But you should totally read it. It's a little self-contained, but it's self-contained in the way that it's like, it follows these characters like, Zoraida does a good job of making really compelling characters. And in this story in particular, it goes back and forth between Izzy and the other character's name is Jules. And basically the story starts out and they're like two kids who grow up on, but like they're little kids on Batuu and they're like climbing trees and like, you know, one falls and gets hurt and they get attacked and by a creature, but they like fight it off together and they're so brave and they're so adventurous. And then like, Izzy, her parents, like, they leave during the night. Like, they take her and they move. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't really like know what's happening, but she's just like, no, I didn't get to say goodbye. Like, I've listened to this thing so many times, and it's like a very heartbreaking, like, sad story. You know what it reminds me a little bit of? Hmm. Like, I mean, not exactly the same, but remember the beginning of Book of Life? How she, like, leaves her friends?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Like, but she, like, because they sent her to boarding school or whatever. But, like, the thing is that she's, like, she thinks she's never going to come back. And she sort of never comes back. Because when we catch up to them, she's an adult. She's, like, a pilot. And she's working with this crew of smugglers slash people that are doing jobs for money for not great people. And there's, like, a shootout in the bar where her, like, fancy boyfriend breaks up with her. And, like, they also...
On her birthday.
And they kick her out of the crew. And she's, like, left by herself until this Rodian's like, hey, you're Izzy Garcia. I knew your mother. And I just guess, just for clarification, I'm going to say that Zoraida always says, like, oh, I always imagined the name to be Garci.
No.
But we're going to say Garcia. And that's what they said in the audiobook. And you can't stop us. Yeah, we respect you, Zoraida Cordova, but we're going to say Izzy Garcia.
But it makes more sense for Garcia.
In this house.
In this house that
we say
one
Garcia.
Of us is named that, pretty much. It's official. Izzy Garcia is also Hispanic. Boom. Done.
Canon. Although I think she's like, she has red hair, reddish hair, right?
So?
She's described in the book. I'm not saying.
Maybe
she
dyed it.
That's cool. No, I'm just like, I'm trying to, I'm like, I visualize. Mm. I'm a visual learner.
Yeah.
The guy gives her a job, the Rodian. It's like, hey, take this to Dok Ondar on Batuu, and she's like, oh, I've thought about it, but I've never gone back. And like, her family has died by now. Like, it's just her. She has their ship, her mother's ship, obviously, mm-hmm. and all that. And basically, she goes back to Batuu. She runs into Jules. She punches him in the face. And then they, like...
On accident.
They go around in an adventure. They're, like, trying to make their delivery to Dok Ondar, but stuff is happening on Batuu right now, as we know
Dok is missing.
Dok is missing. The First Order is here. Izzy runs into Oga Gera, and they need to get the package back from Hondo that they accidentally... There's a switcheroo with the packages, so mm-hmm. there's a delivery to Hondo that they need to reclaim. That's a whole adventure. Her crew is there because they have a job, and then the crew ends up, like, trying to capture her and all this stuff, and the delivery when they finally find Dok Ondar is, like, to people who are hiding out in the busted-down temples that I can visualize a lot better now that I've been on Rise of the Resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of the whole crescendo of the book is, like, the crew... is gonna like burn down the farms, and they have captured Jules and his sister and stuff, and like
his sister's a jerk.
She's trying to look out for her brother.
No, she's a jerk.
She's trying to look out for her brother, but
her
brother
is not her responsibility.
Well, it is when they don't have parents.
They are 20. She is a grown. They're both grown adults.
But you still do what you can. And then there's a big, like, fight out at the thing. And, like, all the people, like, for me, I don't know, one of the best parts of the... I really like the finale of the book because I think it really speaks to, like, the community. Like, mm-hmm. it's, like, all the people that she... Like, his friends are that she's met throughout the day. Oh, this is the guy that, like, works at this thing. Oh, and this is the girl that works at Hondo's. And, like, this is... Like, all those people sort of come together to help Jules. And, like, fight against these people. And, like, mm-hmm. you know, like, I don't know. I really enjoyed it. And then, like, they sort of decide that they're going to, like, maybe join the resistance. That's a spoiler, light spoiler, but spoiler-free review.
Yeah.
Or summary.
There's honestly not a lot. Like, this is kind of its own independent story. Like, it doesn't really, like, until the last part. They're not really part of anything big. It's just kind of their own lives and their own drama going on, I guess.
But I like I don't like reducing stories to like a Wikipedia blur. Like I don't like it's not about that these two people meet eventually. They join the resistance. That's what it would be on a bigger scale, right? The story is about them and like you know, maybe falling in love and like finding each other after so long and connecting. Like, that's what the story is really about. These two people. It's like a romance. Like, it's a whirlwind romance and like set in and on Batuu. You know, but it's actually like very beautiful, and it's like the things that we wish for, and the things that they like, they're both trying to find their own future, and they don't know if they can find it with each other, maybe, but they've like thought of each other ever since, you know, this little girl left. Like, he tied a thing on the wishing tree and wished for her to come back one day, and then she finally did. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't get how he hasn't gotten over her, but like, hey, whatever.
Well, I mean, it didn't have to be romantic at first, right? Like, he was just probably a kid who missed his friend.
Oh, yeah, of course. That, but, like, know? As a... I... Speaking from experience, I would have just totally forgot. And okay. Moved on.
Well, then.
That's uh-huh. That's because that's who Echo's, right. Echo's mad at me now. He's like, how dare you? Hush, I would have remembered everyone. My Hush, true love. Puppy. My true love.
But it didn't seem like it was like that. They were like, they just missed their best friend. Like, he was wished for his fallen, and she missed him. But then they meet, and they're adults now. And then I think that's where, like, the romance comes in.
Well, okay. I guess I
to be fair,
kind of say, like, because in middle school, like, I didn't go with everyone else, like, in middle school with all my friends in the high school that they were going to, because I went to OSHA. But, so that's why at first I was like, oh, well, who cares? Like, you just kind of move on, make more friends or new friends or whoever. Mm-hmm. But actually recently, a week ago, one of my friends from middle school reached out because they found my TikTok. And we've been talking a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess, okay, fine. I can kind of see it. It's fine.
But I mean, even that, like, you, like, that was much later in life. Mm-hmm. And then the thing about Izzy is that, like, she says, like, they just kept moving. Like, they never stayed in a place long enough for her to really make more friends and restart. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
she says, I meant more, like, for him.
No, but he's, like, he has a life. He has his own thing. And he, like, misses her. But he also, like, he does his own thing. And he's, like, he's dreaming of going out into the galaxy. It's a very Luke Skywalker type.
Like, but I just want to get, like, out of here. But he also, like, didn't go to the academy because of her, because he's waiting for her.
Well, that's what the,
like,
sister blah, blah, blah. Suspects, right?
Well, that's what he said when he was drunk.
Maybe, yeah. But he always expected her to come back or whatever. That's a little bit of, like, Rey vibes, how she, like, stays on Batuu, or Jakku.
Yeah, Batuu, yeah. Jakku.
Why does everybody want to go to Batuu? Nope. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's, I think it's cute. But I also think, cute, like,
but I'm like, dang, bro.
He does pine for her, but he also, like, gets on with his life, kind of, but, like, yeah, his sister doesn't agree and thinks that he's holding himself back from opportunities, but he also builds a life for himself. Like, he's very loved by his friends,
by his
and
community.
The people in the community, like, and that's what I think is really nice about this book. Like, all those in Galaxy's Edge, you go to Black Spire and, like, that's all you kind of see, and, like, now that I've played Tales from the Galaxy's Edge and read some more books, and, like, I even looked through this art book, the one that Amy Ratcliffe wrote, The Art of the Galaxy's Edge. There's some, like, really beautiful designs, and, like, to see beyond the outpost, you know, and, like, in theory, the communities that these people live in, like, where, you know, where I was always, oh, they went out to the cenote, they went out to the ruins, and, like, you get a little bit of that with, you know, the resistance base and all that kind of stuff. But there's so much more to Galaxy's Edge, and then, like, the community of the people that live there, like, you know, like, you go to Galaxy's Edge in real life and you buy the Sokka's kettle popped corn or whatever it is, and you don't think of it, but over here, like, in the book, they're like, oh, like, he actually grows his own grains, he's got a whole farm, a lot of the people in the community, they all work there, so, like, we all depend, this is like an industry that it's all locally sourced that we all depend on. I'm like, it's pretty rad. Y'all organic or I, you know, and, like, part of the story revolves around, like, this, you know, like, they mention it a few, oh, well, Cat Sokka will never sell. Like, they, the big industry keeps trying to come and take over her farm, but, like, she just wants to run it her own way. And, like, she's just going to sell it here and do her own thing. And then when Izzy's crew is there, it's because they're there to, like, sabotage and burn down the farm so that she'll have to sell. and then the corporations will own it. It's like a very, like, there's a very,
the
like,
real life
corporate takeover aspect to the story where the community, mm-hmm. like, rises up to protect each other and their, like, local interests, which is, like, their jobs and stuff on the line.
Mm-hmm. Their jobs are just, you know, way of life.
Yeah. And it's, like, kind of beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The, I don't know. Izzy, I really like both of the characters, Izzy and Jules.
Yes.
Izzy is kind of...
I don't get how Jules has so much patience. Like, I'm more like Izzy, where she, like, can't trust no one, doesn't want to trust no one.
What?
She, like,
no,
triple overthinks.
Oh my goodness.
Everything.
What is a shock and awe.
What happened?
Shock. I'm so surprised. Oh no, her character is mistrustful and Lindsay,
like,
connects to her.
And then and Jules is like, no, why can't you trust me? Like, it's cool, bro. And I'm
like,
how?
I like when they make it personal and they make it about food. She's like, so if you got poisoned,
oh, yeah.
at Cookie's thing, you would just come back the next day and eat. And he was like, first of all, how dare you?
Yeah. How dare you imply that?
Second of all, that would never happen. And third of all, yes, the chicken is too good. I'm sorry, Tip Yip. Oh man, I could go for some Tip Yip. Like, I think that's the reason that I gave in to buying an air fryer.
I like the, what is it?
The shock roast?
No, well, that, I do like baking that. But the, like, the vegetarian spread.
Oh, it's so good.
It's really good.
But, like, the one that you make, like, not the one there.
Oh.
Like, the one there is fine. But, like, the one that you make when you make the, like, it's almost like you make the naan on our own.
It's like the called. Chickpea, like, kind of crackers.
Almost. Yeah. And it's, like, difficult to make, but it's really good. It's, like, with the little, like, tomato cucumber something salad.
I think the only reason it was difficult was because it needed egg white. But we were trying to make it for Zoe at the time, mm-hmm. and Zoe can't have egg white.
Mm-hmm.
But also it needs to be like, what's it called?
No, but you've made that multiple times.
Or, oh.
From the Galaxy's Edge cookbook.
I guess because it needs to be like blended, and we only have like the Tiny Ninja one too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, taste-wise, that is always... And I think it's also difficult because you make like three different things. Like, you do the chickpea things, and then you fry those, and then you like cut up the salad, and then you have to bake the naan. Like, there's a whole like bunch of stuff that goes into like that dish.
Mm-hmm.
But once you put it all together, it is delicious, and it is like...
It's pretty like, it's it really doesn't good. Fill you up, but like it's still like really good.
Yeah. It is definitely one of the things that you make from that cookbook that I really enjoy. We've mm-hmm. done it a couple
Chris
of times, but yeah.
What I like to make is like the shack roast. I used to take it when I would go to Disney all the time, because mm-hmm. It's literally just pasta and like meat and veggies. It's
right.
really good.
Nice.
What else? What else from there?
That's good stuff.
I don't really like the Ronto wraps in that one.
I like both of them, but I think I like the, like, At Batu Ronto wraps better than the cookbook Ronto. The cookbook Ronto wraps are very, like a tomato pasty kind of, like...
Yeah, doesn't Mom like the Rontos?
Yeah, she likes the book better.
Yeah.
You know?
I prefer, like, the, like, actual
Yeah,
ones
the actual,
with,
like sausages
stuff,
or whatever,
yeah.
Okay, back to the book. yes, Docking Bay 7, awesome. So like at like through the book, she's sort of she's back there and she doesn't really like, but she doesn't really like, it's not like remember, but it's like she's, you know, she was like a teeny little, she was a 5 years old or whatever when she left, you know, so she's like seeing all these things with new eyes and like, oh, my mom always talked about Dock on Dars, but we never actually went to Dock on Dars, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, like, in the background, all the First Order stuff is happening. Like, the First Order is there, and, like, you know, we who have read Delilah Dawson's Black Spire know what's happening, and all that kind of stuff. You know, but like the little things that are like the ripples that these are making on the community, it's like a little more like you're closer to it in here, where they go to Doc Ondar's and the kid is like, hey, I'm watching the shop because like two people didn't show up for work. Hey, I'm watching. Hey, I'm 7 years old. I'm watching the shop over here. And he's like, oh, like Doc has some work for you. Two of the people didn't show up. And you find out later that they're like recruited into the First Order, you know, because the First Order is like recruiting people, you know. And so it's like taking these kids that don't have prospects or jobs or like, you know, mm-hmm. that maybe feel like jewels, like they're stuck here. And like, in a weird way, taking advantage of them or like bringing them into the fold and like getting them out of their community and also turning them against their community, because they're like protesting in the streets at one point. There's like a riot and mm-hmm. these kids are sort of. Some of those kids are like at the center of it, like, you know, riling people up for the First Order or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like interesting to see how like disruptive, how like the First Order is coming in and like really trying to disrupt these communities and take these people out of them. And it's like hurting people on all sides, but also how these people who don't really have, it's like a very small, you know, like they're not exactly, I don't want to say like, it's not like they don't have the ability to do anything, but they're just like, you know, it's like the idea is that they're all kind of farmers and it's a very rural type living that they live here. It's not like they're removed from the galaxy either, but they have like a little bit of an insular community. A lot of travelers mm-hmm. come through, but I don't know. It was something that I saw a lot.
Really nicely in Black Spire mm-hmm. because like Vi is like trying to recruit people for the resistance and stuff, but they don't care. The people, it's not like the people don't care, but they don't care in a way that they're like, well, the First Order is paying money. I don't see the resistance paying us money. I don't see the New Republic paying us money for this.
Mm-hmm. What New Republic? Huh? Oh,
yeah.
Too soon. Too soon.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
And I thought it was interesting because I went to Galaxy's Edge and I was with the Vi Marotti that was there at the mm-hmm. time, and she asked them like, "Hey, you want to join the resistance?" To like some of the Batuans that were there, and they said the same thing. They pretty much stuck with like that book where they were like, "Well," like one of them was like, "Well, the Empire's paying me money for like my farm, so should be mm-hmm. fine. I'll have a bunch of credits." Mm-hmm. And then the other one is like, "Well, the First Order is really strong. Like, I don't know if I want to, like, do anything about it. There's not really much I can do." So
right.
I always thought that was kind of cool. I also just like that in Galaxy's Edge, they kind of, like, they stick with the books and stuff. I don't know if they make them read it or something.
Well, I think more of the idea is, like, I think it kind of goes the other way. Like, I think the idea of whatever the, like, general story of Galaxy's Edge, I think they, like, they give those people at the park that kind of story. They give the people who's writing the books these, you know what I mean? Like, so it all kind of fits together.
Well, I mostly mean for, like, Vi Marotti, because I remember asking her about Cardinal.
Yeah.
She was like, "How'd you know about Cardinal?" And I was like,
Well, see, I think that's a little more, like, it's like for her, I think she would know. You know what I mean? Like, they would be like, "Well, you have extra homework."
Yeah.
Whereas, like, your regular Batuan citizen, they might be like, "Somebody asked me about a red guy. That's fine. You don't know him."
Not canon. Don't worry about it.
You don't know him. You're good. Don't worry about him. What do you think about Izal and her, like, old crew? Daymar. Like, what do you think about Daymar, Izzy? Lizzie?
Her boyfriend? Her ex?
Ex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, so when I first read this was like 2020, I think, because it was COVID, so I was like, I might as well read this.
Look, a book. I heard this can take me to far off worlds.
Yeah. I had, like, my first boyfriend at the time. And I still connected with the character and stuff and all that. And then now I'm reading it, like, with and thinking about, like, my first ex. And I'm like, ugh. Ugh. Like, especially when she's with these people. And she talks about how, like, even though she was with this guy, he didn't know anything about, or, like, she, like, confided in him and trusted him and this and that. And then, you know, really easily he just dropped her. Like, mm-hmm. that's horrible. That's so, and then on her birthday, and they all knew, mm-hmm. like, of course they all knew it was her birthday because she'd been with this crew for so long. So for her to just immediately get dumped so fast, like, I don't even remember what the reason was that they told her they were dumping her. Like, the whole crew. Mm-hmm. But that just is probably... That's just... I don't know. I felt sick. And I felt so sad for her. And I hate the ex. Don't like him. Very horrible. And then it's like... what's it called? Like, it's weird... Because later on Batu, when she meets the crew again, she bumps into him. Mm-hmm. And she, like, does this thing where she wants to, you know, protect Jules and says, well, he's just, like, Jules is just a farm boy. I don't care about him. To the ex. And then, like, Jules finds out later.
Right.
And then, like, it's sad. But also, he, like, trusts her? How? How do people trust so easily?
No, I mean, like, what's the, crazy. You know, he's just, yeah. Like, the ex in particular is like the, you know, but it, like, it's very like narcissistic and very yes. like, oh, like he always was doing his hair and da 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 da. And this jacket that she bought him that he was just letting the other girl wear. Like, there's a bunch of these little things throughout. But, you know, like the fact that, oh, he doesn't even know how to use a blaster or like, but da da da, like. He's like a pretender mm-hmm. in this weird way. And then I just like how like later, you know, like later in the story, they like kidnap Jules and he's like, you know, the speeder dies and he's like, yeah, you got to like hit it. And they're like, this guy like, never hit anything. Mm-hmm. And like, he's just like, eh, that was not working. Eh.
Yeah.
And I could just like imagine it. And
I it's, like the really description funny to me. Of the differences between Jules and this guy. Because, like you said, he's supposed to be, like, very, like, you know, full of himself and, like, never worked a day mm-hmm. in his life. And then Jules is, like, the complete opposite where he's right. literally, like, a farm boy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, he's so, like, caring and stuff. So it's a good change for Izzy.
Mm-hmm. But, like, the idea, like, it's so funny. The idea is that he's not, like, worldly, right? Like, Jules mm-hmm. has never been off the planet. And so, like... They're all making fun of him because he's like a farm boy, but he's like, he knows how to fix things. He knows what to do. He knows who to reach out to. He's like strong and like buff or whatever.
Yeah.
He's described as like super buff and hot a few times. Yeah, in this I was going to say,
for
sure.
some reason, when I first read it, I didn't like, it didn't comprehend in my mind that he was like buff and tall and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I was reading it like recently and I was like, why? This mm-hmm. is so weird. Like, I don't remember him being buff and tall and, right. like, you know.
Like, immediately he's hot.
Yeah.
She, like, punches him in the face and then she's like, Jules, is that you? Oh, my God. You're all grown up. Yeah. Okay, the very beginning of the book when they're, like, little kids is very, like, cute, but also, like, very heartbreaking. I remember like reading it and like I when I first read the book, like I know it's about that these people find each other or whatever. Like it's kind of sold as this like Galaxy's Edge romance book, right? Mm-hmm. So at the very beginning where they're like little kids and they're having like some sort of little adventure and they're going off and they're like dreaming like, well, we're going to be a pilot and I'm going to be the captain and the princess and da 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 and we're going to fly and we're going to go anywhere we want to go. And then like she wakes up in the night while they're like taking her to the ship and she's like, what's happening? Oh, we gotta leave, we have to go, you know. And like eventually we find out through Ogagera that her mom was a bounty hunter and like she failed like the last job. She was like the best and like that's why she was there, but she like failed on a job. But Ogagera was like, okay, like you can survive. I'm not going to kill you, but you have to leave now. And like, that's why they had to leave, because of her mother. And she was like, got a lot of anger in her mother for the choices that she made. Like, why would she do that? And why would she put us in danger? Like, with that kind of lifestyle, and she didn't even care about us. But like, her mother was doing the best she could. And then even like, I think Jules says at one point, he's like, my dad was a farmer and he died too. Like, it's not, you know, there, you can't help everything. You can't prevent everything, no matter what kind of life you choose. Like, there's always that danger. And like, cause his father died, you know, his mother got sick or something when there was like a virus that swept through and killed a lot of people. And then he only had his father, and his father dies. Like, there are fires. And his father goes in to help somebody, and you know what I mean? So he loses his father at a like mid age.
Yeah, I was going to say not young.
Yeah, he's not like a baby, but he's like very young. You know, it's like him and his sister at a certain point.
I like had something and then I lost it after I like literally spoke one word.
I'd like the idea of like these people with their families, and like they sort of have like, he's got his sister.
Oh yes, the mom. She doesn't have anybody.
The mom. Go ahead.
Why? I mean, okay, but she's a bounty hunter, so why have a family when you know that your work is dangerous? Like, that's, I'm kind of on board with for her Izzy. Family. No, but why have a family in general? Because it seems like she was a bounty hunter before then.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think she fell in love with her father, and
but then continued.
Yeah,
that's what I'm not getting. That's where I'm kind of like on board with Izzy. I
think like you live a life, like, and you had make a whole the best child. Choices you can. You had a whole child, and she tried to provide a life for her child, you know, and she tried to teach her child the best thing. And even then, like, she leaves a message on the ship where that she finally finds, that is like, hey, I'm like not here anymore, but like, make sure you like, you know, I did my best to take care of you. This is what happened, you know, did my best to teach you things, take the ship and like be who you want to be, you know. But there's like danger. I like the point that Jules makes, is that there's danger everywhere in the galaxy. And just because that exists, like, you don't stop loving people, or you don't,
right, but there's like danger, like accidental danger, and then there's danger like you're literally going out and seeking danger because this is your job.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, but at the same time, it doesn't matter. Like, both of those dangers can still kill you. You know, like Jules said, he's like, my father still died. You know? Like, it kind of doesn't make a difference. You just live the best life you can with what you have. You know?
But she could have, like, easily just not. Okay. It's okay. What happened? What happened? She died because she, for some reason, continued to be a bounty hunter even after she was a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Kind of weird. But that's why I'm still on board with Izzy. I'm still like, why would you do that? That's literally the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
Well, I mean, I think Izzy understands her better when she sees the message and all that, like, is because at first it's like a big deal. She like, she doesn't know this. She's just like learns from Ogugera, and then finally is like, so that's why I had to like, we move. That's why we could never stay in one place for so long. That's why we always had to move. That's why we never had friends. That's why this and this and that, you know? And then she's like, and everybody knew except me, you know? But then
I wonder why she would keep that from her. Like, as a little baby, yes, I get that. But as she grew older, mm-hmm. why not tell her?
I mean, I wonder when she died. Or I don't know. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, that's like, another thing.
We don't really know. Like, that's not set in stone. That she just says that she's gone. So we don't know exactly when that happened, how old she was. But that she did leave her everything. She left her, which is like the ship and everything, you know? So, because like that, some point, like the ship became their home because they never stayed anywhere else other than Batuu. You know, Batuu was like the longest place that they had stayed, you know?
I imagine like ships are kind of like those cars that we have in real life, like the, what are they called? RVs?
Mm hmm. Yeah. I always thought about that. Yeah, for like a lot of people there, they're like, you know, the Falcon is like a home. The Ghost.
Because it's like a mobile home.
Yeah. Especially for people who, like, travel and don't have homes. You know, that's their job and that's their home. Yeah.
The ghost.
Yep. I always, I don't know. I thought that I like, so she has like, she finds out about all that kind of stuff and she meets with Ogugera. And Ogugera is kind of like, well, if you're like your mother, then I have work for you. You know, you can always come work for me. I owe, you know, your mother like always did right. So like, I will extend that same, you know, to you or whatever.
Oga was a little mean to her in the beginning, but
yeah. But also, like, I mean, Oga's like, I kind of like the like, there's this balance of power in Batu that we see with all these books. Like, Ogugera kind of runs the, like, crime or, you know, like, that kind of end.
Yeah.
Doc Ondar runs the, like, respectable sort of, like, he deals in antiquities, but he, and then Hondo is running the, like, smuggler kind of, like, other side. So you have, like, these are the three people who have, like, power in the outpost. Mm-hmm. And then the Resistance and the First Order are sort of pulling on both sides of them. You know, and in theory to disrupt or whatever. But it's like they can't, like, they threaten Doc Ondar, but there's, like, if they try to kill him, like, that'll, like, you know, they won't, it won't go well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he has too much power in the thing and the other people will stop him. And like, Hondo is like secretly running Coaxium for the Resistance on one end. Doc Ondar is like trying to keep the peace and the balance. Ogugera is like also not trying to let the First Order come in. And like, so you have like these people that are all trying to take over Black Spire, but also these three, you know. And then you also have like Savi and the lightsabers, the scrap metal scavenger people who are like on their other side doing their own kind of thing. Like, I like the way that they've built this sort of community and the world of Black Spire and how it functions and how
it's a very almost like realistic community.
Right. But like it's harder to disrupt than people understand that are trying to come in and disrupt it. First Order is like, well, we're just going to come and take these kids and da 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 and take over. And they can't really disrupt those levers of power because there are too many like checks. And it's like, it's not all, you know, if it was just one leader, they would like come in and kill Doc Ondar and then be like, where are the leaders now or whatever. But they can't do that because it's like there are so many more
like factors.
It's yeah, there's so many more factors, and it's very interesting. And I like the way that it all, like, in all of these books and in being there, I like how it all sort of functions together.
Do you think that they have meetings with each other?
Maybe. I like Doc Ondar is like,
maybe.
Oh, he said that. And then I like how, like, Doc Ondar, like, when Black Spire came out, you were like, man, Doc Ondar's been running this thing for like centuries. He's like 200 years old. And you're like, whoa. And now I'm reading High Republic books and I'm like, oh, that's Maz Kanata. Oh, Dexter Jester is there too. Hey, look, it's Therm Scissor Punch.
Besides Maz.
You know Dexter Jester?
Oh, Dex. I don't know his full government name.
Oh, yeah, Dexter Jester. He ain't seen that since he was prospecting beyond the Outer Rim. Yeah, he's showing up in the High Republic, which is like 400 years ago.
Oh, interesting.
So now you're like Doc Ondar, like a little baby. Little baby Doc Ondar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. It's cute. The life cycle of Star Wars people. Just like, eh. Put Maz in there. I like it. There's also a really good story that I just read in a recently released book called From a Certain Point of View, Return of the Jedi. And it's Dexter Jetster, like, on Coruscant after the Battle of Endor. Okay, my clap now.
What I was asking, I'm pretty sure, before I got yeeted off. How is Maz older than Yoda?
Maz is 1,000 years old, so yes, because Yoda's supposed to be 900. So,
okay,
give or take 50 years, like pretty close, but I think Maz is a little older.
Okay, I'm just curious.
Sure. I'm going to answer yes.
Yes.
That
okay,
is my
cool.
final answer, but not by too much.
Good. I wanted to say I particularly liked the little scene with Jules and Izzy about, like, kind of when they have their Final Fantasy X moment when they're swimming.
Yes, at the cenote.
That's what it reminded me a lot of.
Yeah, that's what I always thought of when they go swimming. And if there's like a very romantic scene and they're like swimming and they're like making out in the water. And it reminds me of Final Fantasy X with Tidus and Yuna.
Mm-hmm.
And the song.
Yes. And then I'm trying to think of what else happened. Like little snippets like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that scene, but the fact that like in the book it goes so bad so fast, like there's a very like, because they sort of get jumped by her old crew, right? They're having this like romantic time, and it's just them, and they've just like passed off the package to like what it's like the resistance. So it was like a whole thing, like the whole time they were running a package for the resistance, and so you know they're kind of like, well, if you ever like need, you know, feel like you want to help, come by or whatever. And then they go to like the cenote and they're like swimming around in their underwear, and then they get jumped. And then it turns like, I love like the flip, how it's like so beautiful and like they're with each other. And then all of a sudden they're like vulnerable because she's like standing there in her underwear and people are pointing blasters at them. And like, they're like completely vulnerable and disarmed.
Also like Atlantis.
I forgot that part. But yes, that does
where
happen.
They like go in the water to like look for clues about the crystal.
Mm-hmm.
They come back up and Milo realizes that his gang is like there to take the Atlantis's resources.
Oh no. Resources. Rich people want things. Yeah.
Yes. Just like in this book and just like real life.
Yeah. I thought that was really, really cool. Like that's one of my favorite, like, I always like that scene, and then I always like how, like, it's almost scary, like, the way that it feels. Like, especially, like, when you read this stuff from, like, Izzy's point of view, and she's, like, didn't have her blaster, and, like, they pull her blaster, because it was just there on the floor with her pants and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They did, like, a really good job with that scene. Let's see. What else we got? I kind of like the end of the book. Like basically what happens from there is like they capture him, and then like to go, because they need his help to go to break into the farms and da da da. He's gonna help them because they've been trying to recruit people all day, but nobody will go against Kat Sokka. Or sorry, Kat Sokka, as I have been told multiple times that it's pronounced correctly. And the farms, because like the crew, her old crew, who is now like Anatola's crew, have been hired by the company that's trying to like take over Katsuka, that Katsuka will never sell to. So they like basically the job is they just want them to go destroy, burn down the farms. That way the company can just roll in and take over once the person can't fight them back. But they like kidnap Jules, and then Jules is like, well, she doesn't care. But like there's like a whole like double crossing kind of thing. But then it turns out they have his sister as well, that they captured her, and she's like pregnant and all this stuff. And
yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
she's mean. Rough.
She was mean to Izzy.
Izzy.
But like, super real about it and was like, you get the hell out of here and you never come back. And don't you ever hurt my brother.
And she didn't even hurt him.
Well, that's not how she sees it.
She was 5.
Yeah, she was like, you took your 5-year-old ass out of here 15 years ago, and he ain't been the same since.
Yeah, so how dare
you. Either stay forever or leave right the hell now. And there's no in between.
Mean and stupid.
Rough. How dare you come back here with your fancy jacket and your bounty hunting family. That you didn't know about.
I especially don't like it that, like, she greeted her so nicely, you know?
Oh, she wasn't
like
going to make a scene.
Huh?
She wasn't going to make a scene.
Right, but, like, still, like, how, like, fake, jerk. Mm-hmm. How dare you?
It's like, I mean, Axel just showed me a stupid, like, TikTok that is like, so many fake, stupid people here. Hi, hey. I hate that stupid fake people. But yeah, it was very much that. I really like that scene because it puts so much pressure on Izzy, who like doesn't want any pressure anyway.
And then, and she was already stressing about stuff like that anyway.
But it's like, decide what you want, kid.
Yeah.
To hell with other people.
But it's been a day. It hasn't even been a full day.
Yeah, this is evening.
Give her a break.
So then they go for their sexy swim. They get kidnapped. And then they want to go burn down the things. And they have like bombs set over. But what happens is Izzy is kidnapped by the person that she shot stunned earlier in the day. And she's like, look, I know, like, but we have to protect him. And like, this is what, I'm really sorry that I stunned you. But like, I had to get this thing back. It was for this and this and that. Look, they're lying to you. They're bad people. They lied to me too. We have to help Jules. And all the people care about him so much. Like, they go and they find his friends. Like, these people that are like, hey, are you going to come check out our show tonight? Like, all day. Like, and if they're like, okay, well, who would know? Well, let's go by that guy. Okay, let's go. And, like, they collect, like, all of his friends. And then they steal a ship, which turns out it was the ship that he bought earlier in the day. Because he was like, I'm going to get off this planet and make something of myself. And so, like, he's like, oh, you stole my ship. But they like, they go help him, and it's like, it's Izzy and all the friends that she's met that he's like grown up with, and like that are there fighting for him and fighting to protect the farm. And they like beat the crew and they reclaim the farm and they save the farm. And it's like I don't know, like I just, the way that I, like, after reading it so many times, I really like that it, the story is really about how the community comes together to help this kid who's always there for them when they need it. You know? And she really gets to see that like, he's so good and he's so kind to all these people that, like, when he's in trouble, like, nobody, like, and it keeps going back to that line, like, early in the book, the guy who gives her the job, he's like, nobody knows your name, Izzy Garcia. No one in the galaxy knows your name, so you can do this. And she's like, she goes back and forth with it. She's like, okay, well, nobody knows because I've never done anything. I've never proved myself. I've never, like, I'm nothing. And then she also goes to like, well, nobody knows who I am, so I can just do whatever I want. I'm like free, so I can just disappear, you know, except for this one kid. This is the only kid who everywhere I go, like, I disappeared and he still remembered my name. And then it sort of like seeing the community come out for him in that way really flips that script on, like, everybody knows him. Everybody cares about him. Everybody will do what they can if they can to help him. Like, this is what it is to be somebody and to help people and to like care and to trust. And like, nobody knows your name, but you make your name, like, even if it's just something like, you know, because she's like, he's never been off this planet, but all these people like will fight for him, you know. And he stands up for them too. And I just thought it was a really beautiful, like, it's a very thematic way that they like turn around and change the meaning of that throughout the whole story. Zoraida, excellent author, chef's kiss. I love it.
Yes.
But I don't know. It's just, it's a really good book. It's a really cute, like, romantic story in Star Wars where we don't get a lot of them. This, Lost Stars, Princess and the Scoundrel. And I wouldn't count Most Wanted, but I guess you could. But, like, it's a solid story, and it's really beautiful in the way that it paints these things. And, like, how we look at the people around us and how we build those communities and how we, like, fight for what's important. And it's, like, it doesn't have to be this galactic scale that people, you know, like I said, I hate turning things into a wiki article. Like, this is about these two people and, like, what they want out of life and what they're willing to do for each other and for themselves and, like, how they go about that and how they learn from each other. It's really cute and it's really, it's, I like it. This was one of my favorite books.
Yeah. I like when they're racing each other at the end, like in their own ships and stuff.
In his recaptured stolen ship.
Yes. I thought that was really cute, especially because, like, she's still, like, an independent person.
Yeah.
Even if she's going to start dating, you know, Jules and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And even if she wants to be a part of community, like, she's still her own person. And I don't know. It was probably just because they wanted a race and stuff. But mm-hmm. I thought that was cute. It's just like that she's in her own little area and he's in his own little area. His own ship. Her own ship.
Yeah.
And I like their interactions together, especially because now they are like a thing. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's cute. And when I was reading it again, it just reminded me it is Kat and Tualin. And I got sad.
Yeah. And see, like, the thing about this is that, like, they're free. Like, Iskat never got to be free. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Iskat didn't get that. Like, this character, these characters, they're able to find their own future and their own life. Like, in theory, right? I always like to imagine, like, what do you think? I think they're there at the end of Rise of Skywalker. I always imagine that,
they joined, so...
Yeah.
They wanted to help unless people. They died, then yeah.
Right. But that's like my imagined, like where I have thought that their story went was like, I imagine that they're there too.
I imagine, honestly, if that were to happen, that like maybe Izzy like was like, no, I don't want to do this anymore. But Jules like convinced her to keep going and keep doing it. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And it goes back to the same thing. Like one of the things that I like from Rise of Skywalker is like all those ships show up and then they're like, where did they get this army or whatever? Like the line is like, they're just. It's not an army. They're just people.
People, sir.
Like, it's just these, like, you push people hard enough, and that's, they're just, it's only the people that are there to fight for themselves, fight for each other, and fight for, like, their own freedom. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And that's a thing that Star Wars does, like, thematically very well. And I just, like, I do enjoy that. And I do imagine that they are the kind of people who would like stand up when they're needed. Great book. Love it. Zoraida Cordova. Excellent.
Need
author.
More cookies. Need more cookie references.
Highly recommend. What else? I don't know. I mean, the Galaxy's Edge thing. I love Batuu so much. I really would like to see it in something like, I don't know. Like it's shown up in so many books and so many comics. Do you think it'll ever show up in any Struck content?
I need a sneeze. Hold on.
Salud.
It's gone. Okay. I don't know. I can't really think of when they would like come up unless maybe there was like a show that they did about Batuu.
Well, I mean, like, in theory, it could show up. Like, imagine all the, every, like, episode of The Mandalorian, he's just out there, like, shooting somebody on a random planet. What if it was Batuu? You know? Like, there's a whole, mm-hmm. like, the first issue of, like, Bounty Hunters is just Valance smoking some fools on Batuu. Like, he leaves, but, like, the first issue, I'm like, oh, I know where that is. Bam! He hits somebody with a robot hand. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, boy. Get him, Valance. Get his ass. Anyway.
Is that the one that's like half cyborg?
Yeah.
That I don't like?
I think you would like the comics if you read them.
I don't like him.
I think you think you know what he is, and I don't think you know who he is.
Well, he was so obsessed with like Han Solo.
Yeah. I think you need to like read his comics, not just the ones that involve him.
I don't like his personality.
I think, yeah, he's a little emo.
Como trocho, like mom says.
No, he's, well, okay. He does throw his hands around a lot. But, like, I like his character, and he's very emo and stupid sometimes. But he's also...
Emo?
Dude, like, okay, let's just put it this way. Ethan Sachs, the author of the Bounty Hunters comics, which, by the way, issue number 42 is going to be the final issue of Bounty Hunters. So, sadly... Valance's story and Bounty Hunters is coming to an end in three more months?
Well, he won't just show up on anything else?
He
or?
Might, I hope. I mean, I hope he lives. I'm worried about him.
The only
Ethan is not nice to his character. He's been through a lot. You think he just wears half a face for fun? So, like, his series is coming to an end. But, like, he talked about how the, like, basically they said, hey, We want you to write the story. It's going to be about a bounty hunter. His name is Valance. He's like a cyborg guy, da 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 da. You know, can you tell the story? He's like Terminator. And Ethan was like, well, that's not that interesting to me. But like the story is that he, you know, he was like an Imperial soldier. He was like blown up and he was turned into a cyborg, you know, because of all the injuries they had faced. And he was like, what if I tell a story about a disabled war vet who's half cyborg with extreme PTSD? And they were like, and he looks like the Terminator? Yeah. Great. Go ahead. And then eventually he tells the story about that. But it's not just about him. It's about this whole crew of people that I have come to know and love. Mm. So I don't know. I like, and once again, this is another series full of representation that I think you would really enjoy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a really good story of this guy who I think he's a really great character. I think he's a really layered character. And I also think he's a very sad character. And I like it a lot. And I'm very sad that his series is ending. I hope there's a future for him to be told. And I hope he does not get killed at the end of the series, which is a very real thing. I think I have thought he has been dead 3 times, at least, in these 40 issues. But things are getting really rough for droids, especially cyborgs out there right now. Shout out to the Scourge and Dark Droids that's happening right now. But yeah. Anything else to say on the Crash of Fate?
It was a really good book, and it's very it's to me it's refreshing, because it's not that much of a heavy book, and like I said before, it's not very connected to like the main plot of like Star Wars in general, like with the movies and stuff, until like the very end. So, which is the kind of books and kind of stories that I like, just removed from, you know, everything that's related to the Skywalker and like Empire and stuff, or First Order.
Okay.
So, that's why I like it. Mm-hmm. And I think that if people like stuff like that, then they should do it, you know?
Fair. All right. You heard her. Go do it. Go read this book. And like I said, if you like this book, if you like that, I would even say that Convergence has some romantic themes in it as well. It's a High Republic book, and it's a very unlikely, you know, Axel Greylark, you know, this pampered rich kid of a chancellor, is like put together with Gela Natai, who is a very, you know, orderly Jedi, and like, oh no, what if they romance? You know, so go check out Convergence. Not to mention that it also has a lot to do with the Irem and Erino War, 2 worlds that are locked in warfare, and the only way they think that they might be able to solve the problem is if the 2 heirs get married. So there's like a lot of romance in that book. But it's very cute romance, and it's very good. And like Convergence specifically, like Axel and Gela, like that very, like, you know, the unlikely romance of like, but you're a Jedi, but you're just like a jerk guy. Like, you're just a jerk rich kid. I don't know. Like, it's really, really well done. And it's very... It's a good book. And of course, it's continued in Cataclysm, which has a lot more of Axel Greylark's story by Lydia Kang. Yeah. Good times. Thank you, Zoraida, for all the good times. And I can't wait to see what you do next.
Thank you to all of the authors that are very, very good at what they...
Yes.
I was going to say draw what they write.
Thank you, authors, for pictures that you draw.
Make fun of me.
Why? For that's the my books, job.
For the books that I have specifically read, too. Because I haven't read all of them.
That's fair. Are there any that you're interested in? Like, you just did Rise of the Red Blade. That's the newest thing.
Into the Dark, I'm still interested in. else? Who else?
What is something that you think you would like? That if, or like, what is something that like maybe I could recommend?
I mean, again, like I said, I like when it's not about, like,
right,
you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, don't read Heir to the Jedi. You're like, there's not that many books about Luke, and you know, don't read Princess and the Scoundrel. Although I think you might like Princess and the Scoundrel is a very good book, but it is about Han and Leia. But like, I don't know. Like, what are you? Like, what are the things that, like, you like these dark stories about these evil people, which is like all the Delilah Dawson books, kind of. I think you would really like Ronin.
I think I would like Ronin too.
And it's also like in this whole other world that there's not a Skywalker to be seen.
I would like Ronin. I don't know, because I don't know what's out there for Star Wars. Like, I don't like Jedi. Sith are okay, but, like, I don't particularly like them either.
I mean, High Republic is, like, mostly Jedi-centric, but there are some, but it's so different, and there are so many more. Like, the one that you have, Into the Dark. Like, there's Jedi there, but it's also, like, there's, like, a crew, and there's, like, the, you know, there's, like, a whole lot more going on there. But I think, like, the High Republic comics, you would like a lot more than the High Republic books. Even the Jedi ones, like the main line of phase one is about the main character is a girl named Keeve Trennis, and her master is Skeer, and he's like a Trandoshan Jedi, and then she's like a Padawan, right? And so like the whole thing is like they end, and eventually like the Nile attack and the Drunjir and like everything that they go through. I don't know, it's a excellent book or excellent comic series run done by Kevin Scott, and it's like unbelievably great and like also heartbreaking. Like, I think there's some good Star Wars stuff that you can get, like, that hits that line that connects to you, and then they like, and we're gonna hurt you. And like, that's the stuff that really like connects, and that's how you know it's working.
I don't mind getting hurt. It's just not, maybe not like the entire time.
Yeah, but I think it's like when it's well done, it's like, it's really, it like, it works extremely well. I don't know. I also think you might like Guardians of the Wills. Like, it's just about Chirrut and Baze. And they are, like, wonderful. And then Saw Gerrera shows up. And, like, the idea of these people who have nothing left on Jeddah, and then, like, everything's happening, like, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff out there that I really, really enjoy. I just read all of the Star Wars Insider short fictions, Tales from Enlightenment. In phase two of High Republic, there's a bar on Jeddah called Enlightenment, and like everybody's welcome there. And they're like, it features in a few of the comics and books. And then like in the short stories, it's like people that walk into the bar and they tell their stories. So like the framing is like, it's this bar where everybody's welcome. So like every little short fiction is a guy walks in the bar and is like, well, one time I was on this planet that was crazy. And then he tells his little story and you're like, oh, that's pretty rad. But then it starts connecting with what's happening in the comics and the books. And then you're like, oh my goodness. And then it like breaks your heart too. Good times. Anyway, High Republic.
Anything else with Night Sisters?
Only that one short story.
Dang.
Unless you count the Zoraida Cordova short story in the same book that's about Asajj Ventress.
Any not short stories?
Jedi Battle Scars.
Any like horror, maybe?
Jedi Battle Scars, maybe? Okay. That actually kind of works. It's Merin, the Night Sister from the Jedi video games. She's kind of the main character of the book. She's a Night Sister, so there's horror. And it's also really good. And then if you want horror, I would suggest, they just released this. It's called Tales from the Death Star. And it's like, it's Kevin Scott does one every Halloween. First, it was like Tales from Vader's Castle, then Ghosts of Vader's Castle, and then Return to Vader's Castle, and then Tales from the Rancor Pit. And then this year was Tales from the Death Star. And it's like, the framing is set like in the at the on what's the planet called? Kefbir from Rise of Skywalker, where the Death Stars crashed. You know, mm-hmm. with Jenna and all them. And they're like they're telling stories about the Death Star and all this stuff. But it's like pretty good, and it's like a little short horror comic book mm-hmm. with like a few stories in it. Good times. Mm. I just read it. It was good. I highly recommend it for spooky season.
Spooky, spooky. Well, it's not spooky season anymore. Apparently it's Christmas yeah. time.
Okay, well, read it real fast and then go on to Christmas. Then go on to your life day stories.
Fair.
All right. Anything else?
What about when they didn't they like accidentally release all the animals? I just remembered that.
What?
It crashed a fate, right?
Oh, like she let out the, what was it, like the Fear Nox?
Yeah, or and then she made knock? A bird friend.
Yeah, the bird followed her, though. Forgot the name of the bird.
I just thought about that. I was like, wait a sec.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, the creature stall guy was mad.
Yeah.
But it was Jules' friend, so he was like, all right, it's cool.
It's fine. Oh, good, I guess. Yeah. Definitely didn't lose a bunch of money from this.
Good times. They found him. He got the Fear Knock back.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, then, look forward to our next episode where we will be talking about something that has to do with Star Wars and is probably something in print or a comic.
Yeah.
All right. Good times. Peace out. Make sure you're following us. Make sure you like us. Make sure you're sharing us with your friends. Let us
support
be friends with your friends.
Support the authors.
Support the authors. Go buy Zerata Cordova's books. All of them. Come on. Do it. Do it now.
Say we. We should.
We should.